Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Preemption of Trucking Company Agreements Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On June 13, 2013, the Supreme Court announced its decision in American Trucking Associations Incorporated v. City of Los Angeles. The question in the case was whether federal law preempts certain provisions of a concession agreement that trucking companies must sign before they can transport cargo at the Port of Los Angeles. In a unanimous opinion delivered by Justice Kagan, the court held that the Federal Aviation Administration Authorization Act does preempt the provisions in the concession agreements between the companies. Justice Thomas filed a concurring opinion. To discuss the case, we have Anthony or Tom Casso, who is an associate professor at Chapman University School of Law. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Casso.
Hello. I am Tom Casso from Chapman University School of Law, here today to talk to you about the decision in American Trucking Associations versus Los Angeles. I wrote an amicus brief in this case for the Center for Constitutional Jurisprudence and Harbor Trucking Association, supporting American Trucking's position. This case started out as one posing the question of whether there is a freestanding market participant exception to preemption under the Supremacy Clause. At the Supreme Court, however, the city narrowed its argument to one of simple statutory interpretation. The case concerns a series of regulations imposed on drayage trucks by the Port of Los Angeles. Drayage trucks move shipping containers between the port and other shipping facilities, such as the railroad or a distribution warehouse. The road to this litigation began in the late 1990s, when the port announced plans to expand its facilities to accommodate more ships. Environmental groups challenged the expansion in litigation that held up the project for nearly a decade. To resolve the litigation, the port implemented several regulations of the drayage trucks that transport cargo to and from the port, including the so-called Clean Truck Program. By the time the case reached the Supreme Court, the only regulations at issue concerned where trucks could park when they were not on port property, and a requirement that trucks display a placard with a telephone number to report environmental and safety concerns. These regulations were implemented through concession agreements that the trucking companies were required to execute in order to use port property. Truck companies that violate the agreement could be fined or have the permission to use the port revoked. Under the program, it was a misdemeanor for a shipping company to allow an unregistered truck, one whose company had not signed a concession agreement or whose access had been revoked, onto port property. The trucking companies challenged the regulations, arguing that they were preempted under the Federal Aviation Administration Authorization Act of 1994, which we will refer to as the FAAA. Apparently, not every federal law gets a cute acronym. Congress had earlier deregulated the trucking industry in the FAAA. Included in this deregulation was an express preemption of state and local regulations affecting price, route, or service of interstate trucking, as well as regulations requiring any identification other than that required by the Secretary of Transportation. The District Court and the Ninth Circuit upheld most of the regulations, finding that the port was acting as a market participant rather than a government regulator. Although the port did not itself contract for the services of the drayage trucks regulated under the program, the lower courts noted that the port was motivated by a desire to enhance its revenue by expanding the port. That could only be accomplished through these regulations that helped to resolve the litigation that was holding up the port expansion. The Ninth Circuit did strike down, however, a regulation prohibiting the use of owner-operators and requiring instead that all truck drivers be employees of the drayage trucking company. The intent behind that regulation was to raise the cost of providing drayage services in a bid to open the market to larger trucking companies that would be better able to afford the higher priced trucks that met the port's goals for lower emissions as part of the Clean Truck Program. The market participant exception was developed in the Dormant Commerce Clause context. Under the Dormant Commerce Clause, states cannot discriminate against out-of-state commerce. If that discrimination occurs, however, when the state is acting as a market participant, directly contracting for goods or services, rather than as a regulator, the courts have held that there is no violation of the Dormant Commerce Clause. In other words, states as market participants are generally free to act in the same manner as any other private entity in the market. In this case, the port sought to expand the market participant exception to also apply to the Supremacy Clause and to situations where the government was not directly contracting for the services at issue. Under the port's argument, a market participant would include a government agency whose regulations were motivated by a financial goal. It would include any agreement made to advance a government entity's commercial or proprietary interests. At oral argument, however, the port backed away from arguing for a freestanding market participant exception to the Supremacy Clause. Instead, the port argued that its concession contracts with the trucking companies and the related agreements with shipping companies did not have the, quote, force and effect of law, end quote, and thus were not covered by the preemption provisions of the FQAA. The court quickly rejected this argument. In a unanimous opinion authored by Justice Kagan, the court noted that the regulations at issue included criminal penalties against shipping companies that allowed unregistered trucks to access the port. The court ruled that the port's motive for the regulation was irrelevant. The controlling factor was the use of the state's power through coercive regulations, here criminal penalties. The trucking companies also challenged the enforcement provisions of the program that would deny access to the port to trucking companies guilty of major violations of the concession agreement. The term major, however, was not defined. Thus, the court declined to rule on the facial challenge to the penalty provision, preferring to wait for a later case with concrete facts. Justice Thomas filed a brief concurring opinion highlighting what he saw as a significant constitutional concern. Justice Thomas noted that the Commerce Clause gave power to Congress to regulate commerce between the states. This includes regulating the channels of interstate commerce, including the Port of Los Angeles. It does not include, however, in Justice Thomas's view, regulation of parking or required placards on trucks that are not on the port property. He joined the court's opinion, however, since the city did not raise these constitutional questions. The Commerce Clause issue, as well as the question of whether there is a freestanding market participant exception to the Supremacy Clause, will have to wait until another day. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.